This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on. You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's on. It's on. Yeah. I should know it's on.
There's sometimes like we play.
Yeah.
Hey. Sometimes you just got to pick your ball up.
What's going on?
How was your weekend?
Entertaining.
What'd you get into?
Did some yard work. Well, actually, I didn't do any yard work. I pushed it off. Nah, I was supposed to. I'm going to end up doing something this weekend. So I end up, Buddy was in town, Tory
Buddy.
Smith.
Oh, what? Oh, shout out to Tory.
Yeah, so
cut,
he was
former Cut to It guest.
Yeah, he was.
Friend of ours.
He was up in town and called me Friday night and was asking me, was I in town? He was coming down. They were doing they were doing this Under Armour All-American, like this skills challenge where they had high school kids. They were running 40s, vertical jump. It was pretty big time.
Sounds but dope.
It was. But it was also one of those things where I never experienced this in high school, but I believe it can warp your perception of things, and I just really saw some things that were, as a parent, I saw some things in myself that I was like, that's what my wife was talking about.
Gotcha. We were when you say you didn't experience, what you mean, like stuff like this, like the kind of
just
jamboree type thing?
It was big time.
Yeah.
You know, they had some kids that were ranked 75th in the nation, 30th in the nation, 300 in the nation. It was all around.
I know I'm a little bit younger than you, but I feel like even when I was in high school, that stuff was really just starting to kick off. Like the 7-on-7 tournaments, like that stuff.
Well, this
we didn't start doing that till my senior year of high school.
We did 7-on-7 tournaments in high school just to kind of get yourself familiar with the possibility of competition.
Yeah.
And that goes on no matter what.
Yeah, installing your offense, all that.
But it wasn't
a thing back then.
No, like, this was like ESPN rankings.
Yeah.
And so they had some players, I believe, according to what they say, are highly ranked that, you know, you'll see, as some people told me, you will see some of these young men playing on Sunday.
Already know that, huh?
They already know that.
Wow.
Yeah. And some of these young men were conducting and carrying themselves as if they were already playing on Sunday.
What you mean by that?
It was just a lot. It was a lot in regards of, and maybe I'm just old school, and I probably am.
You are.
But I am old school in a matter of fact of, like, you know, a lot of this generation is all about that life, right? Mm. That YOLO. And so I was asked to, if I see something, correct it. So I'm working with the wide receivers. And we were going over some how to swim or how to get off the jam, right? Or the press coverage or quick jam. And so I was just surprised at how many navels I saw out on the field.
You mean like the high tucked in jerseys?
No, I call it what it is. I saw a lot of
shimmel shirts.
No, I saw a lot of crop tops. That's what I saw. And to be honest, I'm just telling you what I saw.
Yeah,
I've seen it a little bit. You always got a guy or two, but it was a whole bunch of them.
Wow,
it was a whole bunch of crop tops and navels, and earrings with hoops and crosses and.
So they were swagged out.
Yeah, here's the problem. I guess the standard of swag has lowered. Mm. Because when I started coaching some of these kids, now one of these kids, and I don't know his name, and I named didn't ask him because it was just it was so many kids.
Okay.
But I was like, hey, you know, let's swim. Instead of doing swimming moves, right? Oh, one kid swam, and that's when, you know, like you're swimming. And he hit the bag as if he was someone under 5'6". Like, who
down there?
Who are you?
Who down there?
And so I said this statement, and this summarizes everything I mean about the crop tops and earrings. I wear earrings, I always have. But on the football field, also about my business. Mm-hmm. So one of these young men, I say, hey, man, if you're going to swim, you got to swim and swing that arm violently. Yeah. Right? I say, you got to, it's a fist fight in the phone booth.
You're trying to get off the line.
Yeah, it's a fist fight in the phone. That's what I love using, fist fight in the phone booth. Mm. Not haymakers, fist fight. Just, you know, punch out. Mm-hmm. Rock'em sock'em bops, right? Kid tells me, and it just made sense. Connected the dots. I say, you ever been in a fight? He goes, no, not really.
All you needed to hear?
If you got that crop top and the earrings, you had better been in a fight. And why is that important? Some people, oh, Steve, that's harsh to say. No, it's not. We're talking about a hand-to-hand, combative.
It's a violent sport.
It's a violent sport. But you looking the part. Mm-hmm. You looking like you ready to get after someone. You ain't.
Oh, why does that bother you, people who look the part?
Because there's a lot of people who look the part, and they get so much credit for looking the part, and then you get them out there, and they want no parts of the game. And then you get a false narrative of that's how they are. That's you know, as they say, and I was with the receiver, so you know what they call us, divas, right? Don't look the part of the diva part. Like, go out there and ball. Yeah. But I found it extremely disappointing that so focused on how, I understand look good, play good. But then also when I try to give them criticism, coaching.
Correction
and critiquing. Man, no crop tops got in a bunch.
But what do you think's changed? What do you think's changed generally? Because it definitely wasn't like that back in the day.
Here's what I believe was changed.
From your standpoint, what do you think's
changed? What I believe has changed is our young men are listening to music, emulating the music and behaving in a manner in which they see off a, 20-second Instagram post. They're mimicking things and don't realize what they're mimicking to some degree isn't very masculine. Mm. And I don't know how this is going to come across, but I just felt it was extremely... I feel like I was at a fashion show instead of a football display. And not everybody. There are some beasts out there. But then there are some beasts who look beast, but they really weren't there for the right intentions. Mm-hmm. That also why that's important and why I found that as a dad, that's also setting them up for failure and not really giving them a realistic understanding of what they're embarking on. Mm-hmm. They're not embarking on a popularity contest. They're definitely not embarking on a fashion contest. It's football. Mm-hmm. It's about skills, and it's actually about producing. Because there were some times where I gave some coaching, and some kids received the coaching, and there are some kids who looked at me as if, what the fuck do I know? Mm.
It's different, man.
Yeah, they different.
But that's why I asked you what do you think it is, because I agree. I think it's images. I think it's social media. I think it's overall media. But then I was curious to know, do you think it's any of from parenting to coaching
all of the above is really what I tend
to think, because you can just tell it's a difference between
youth
sports today versus youth sports back in the day, where, again, I know I'm a little bit younger, but generally when we came up, man, it's just different. It's completely different.
What's tough too is they don't like to be critiqued, right? Don't like to be coached.
And I mean, we used to welcome that. Isn't that the only way you got better?
I wasn't all ears on dog cussing me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But like, you can't even, hey, put your foot up. What? Why?
Right.
You know, put your opposite. And it's not why, as, hey, why tell me, because I really want to know. It's like, well, what's the big deal?
So were people questioning you when you gave them corrections?
They weren't necessarily questioning. I just, okay. I got the, I'm a dad.
Because that would have been different if no, it is, come
it's
on
not,
now.
It's not that, I got the look.
Gotcha.
I got the like
what's he know?
Yes.
But it's still like, you got a future Hall of Famer. I know that making you uncomfortable, whatever, but you got a, you have a guy who's been there, done that. And I think whether it is your, whether it is your status as an NFL player or just someone who has played before.
Here's the part that threw them off too. I knew I was going to a football camp, so I also, one, I dressed comfortably in case I had to get out there. But I also, I got looked sideways a little bit because I didn't look like a guy who played 16 years.
Yeah.
You know what I look like? I have some shorts, sweatpants, a T-shirt, a hat, you know, my 9-year-old free watch. You know, I didn't look...
Like the NFL superstar.
Yes. I got my you know, my necklace I've been wearing for years that I wear under my shirt. But it wasn't extravagant. Mm. And so a little bit is like, Steve? Mm. Like, yeah. Oh, I thought you were, oh. Just kind of got that.
They thought you showed up looking like a lame.
Yeah. I showed up.
But you showed up with knowledge. And sometimes they don't want to hit.
Well, actually, I showed up in that fist fighting phone booth attire. You never know.
Sometimes you just got to pull up.
Pull up. Because you can't fist fight in skinny jeans. You can't. Get your ass whooped in them skinny jeans. But not here. Not this guy. Don't let me pull my flip up brim down.
Oh, that's when you mean business?
Actually, when I flip it around, that's when you know you're going to get your ass whooped.
Go to work time.
Yep. Who we got?
Coming on the Cut To It podcast, we've got Antoine Bethea, a veteran NFL safety. He played with 4 teams during his tenure with the NFL. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler, and he's a member of the Black College Football Hall of Fame as he attended Howard University. Antoine Bethea on the Cut To It podcast. It's always a pleasure to have someone in studio. So, hey, right off the bat, we're going to get into Get Iced Up.
Favorite color and why?
Red. And I would just say, you know, that bull, you know, that bull sees red, you know, you attacking. So,
okay.
Like you said, I'm a defensive guy anyway, so that's our mindset.
Okay. Man, that was a cool-ass explanation.
Yeah. he always been one of those cool guys.
Yeah.
Just playing against him, never really got the opportunity to see how cool he was.
Oh, yeah, that cool factor didn't come through then?
When he tried to hit you, you seem like a cool guy trying to knock my block off. Appreciate it. We'll get into that later.
I got a story.
All right, moving on. Hey, hobbies you have picked up in retirement now.
Man.
Sustainable hobbies. Not. Don't give me. I did knitting for a week.
Right now it's Peloton.
Okay. Ooh.
You got the bike or the treadmill?
The bike.
Okay.
Right now it's Peloton. I don't know how long that's going to stick, but right now that's what it is.
Yeah. For how much I paid for my Peloton? Oh, it's sticking.
Stick, yeah. Right? Exactly. Yeah. We just got ours like 2 weeks ago. I love it. I love it so far. Yeah. But
I can't do the bike though.
So I tapped into a 6:30 group.
You did it live.
6:30 group. It was some other guys, some retired guys, and we was getting on 6:30. I had to fall back on that though. Like that, getting up at 6 o'clock, being retired. I'm like, nah.
that goes against the whole point. Yeah,
the
right?
whole point, you know.
But that's when your metabolism works throughout the day, though.
Yeah.
I just can't. For how much riding you guys are doing, like in being a Peloton treadmill, and you having a. I do get jealous sometimes when seeing y'all. Like, man, I get an hour. I'm over there ecstatic about my little 4-5 miles over there. Hour they hitting 30 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you sitting on that Peloton for that long?
Sometimes you're not sitting.
I got to get the butt pad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Definitely. Pause. I definitely got to get the. Pause. Yeah.
Cause we hate to throw you a check around.
But nah, that sitting there for 45 minutes or hour, that's a beast. Mm-hmm. That's a beast. Now, but the treadmill, I'm just not a. I've never been a treadmill runner.
I haven't either. But I started. And I, I like it.
Yeah.
That trail man hurts.
In what regard?
Well, I don't like running.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I don't, and especially
I didn't know.
Running on that treadmill.
For me, running, I gotta have an endpoint.
Yeah,
I gotta see where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With the treadmill, just like.
But it's the same, just like riding. What's crazy is I did the Peloton at in Indy,
mm-hmm.
and when I was thinking about getting one, uh-huh. the bike, and I did the class, and the class didn't do anything for me.
Yeah,
I was kind of like. This is it?
Yeah.
But then I did the Peloton. But what I like about the treadmill is has the wood way.
Yeah, so it's so, just easy on the knees.
Give me a little bounce.
Yeah.
So
Peloton, your ad can go here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good product, though.
It definitely is.
It's a good product. I like. Yeah. I can work out by myself, push myself,
mm-hmm.
but yet I do not feel...
You feel connected.
I just don't feel like I'm by myself.
By yourself, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have to be connected with anybody. If you're up at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. or 7 p.m., it's not this awkward, like, okay.
Yeah.
Nah, that's dope, because I did the, I got the app, so I do, I'll run outside,
mm-hmm.
and I'll do the audio
on
the Peloton and have somebody in your ear talking like, yo, this is what we doing, let's push it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that.
See, I like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. What's the best way to social distance? 6 feet apart or loan someone some money?
Oh, loan somebody some money. No question.
You want to get them distance?
No question.
They may not come back. You ain't got to worry about staying 6 feet apart.
No question. No question.
They're a city apart.
Man, it's a conversation I have all the time, boy. Like, shh. Give me that same energy that you had when you was asking for the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a backstage Trust Joe me. On that one.
Yeah.
We thought you'd jump right on that.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So my daughter works at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And she was like, Dad, there's this guy that drives a nice car, and I can't remember where I know him from.
Yeah.
And then she said, you looked at her like, I know you, but I don't know where I know you from. And so she finally, someone there said, oh, that's Antoine. And so she was talking to me, and I said, tell him. I said, what's up? So she said, and she said, now it's that less awkwardness of like.
Now we've acknowledged each other.
Yeah. So it was pretty funny. So so with that being said, what's your favorite item on Chick-fil-A? Because word on the chicken streets.
So you kind of
that Christian chicken.
Yeah, the Christian
chicken. What?
That good anointed meal.
What you getting?
Man, I'm right now.
You go getting, enough, so
yeah,
I
definitely go enough. Right now, I'm with them spicy chicken strips right now.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
What's the side?
Fries.
Okay.
No question.
Drink.
Sprite.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I thought you might have switched it up, got a little Arnold Palmer. Some of us call it Tiger Woods.
Nah. I'm sticking with this.
Whoa.
I've never heard of Tiger Woods.
You never heard of Tiger Woods?
Never heard of it.
Oh,
when did this start?
Instead of it being Arnold Palmer, you know, just more of a more recent golfer, depending on where you go, some people call it a Tiger Woods.
No, like
you
first time hearing that.
I've heard that.
Where did you hear it from?
I had it at a soul food restaurant.
That's over. I thought it was just half and half.
Same thing. It's the same drink. It's just called different golfer.
I never heard Tiger.
Same drink, different golfer.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Oh, no. I just made it up.
No. That's how Arma Palmer became Arma Palmer. It was made up. But I'm just saying, I don't know if that made up is going to stick.
The switch up.
You hit us without anybody stop like
like the needle went off the record like
it
I
did.
Said something like, offensive
no
right?
It did
my bad.
Never heard of that one
my bad
that's a new one to me never heard of that one
that's what I look like
ninja
Lord. What did you say and you said
he started taking his hoodie off I was like damn
I love how you explain to us who Tiger Woods was.
Yeah, right, like y'all looking like Tiger Woods. Like, yeah, the golfer. Like,
that's
the Masters,
not,
right.
When you said Tiger Woods, you said, yeah, he's more current. First thing I said was, that ain't what his legs said. He ain't playing golf right now.
Nah.
So you try to, that's one of those, that ain't going to stick.
Nah.
All right, well, stuck somewhere.
It ain't with this group.
All right, cool.
If we go out to eat.
Yeah.
And we say, yo, give me a Tiger Woods. They gonna look at you sideways.
It depends on where you at.
No, they still gonna look at you.
Yeah, I ain't gonna jump off.
What they gonna say. What are you referring to?
That's what I said. Depends on where you go.
Yeah.
All right, awkward transition.
Yeah. No one is going down this road.
We have to take a break. And more than anything, we gotta pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at CutToItPodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
So, Antoine, where are you from in a place you call your hometown?
Born in Savannah, Georgia, but hometown is Newport News, Virginia.
Okay.
Grew up there. So, dad was in the military, moved around a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but Newport News is home.
So, growing up in Newport News, Virginia, you know, how did that shape your perspective on the world?
Man, it was again being a military child.
When you say military child, what age are we? What's the age range?
Man, my dad was in the military until I was probably 14.
Okay, so long enough to it actually shaped you. Because
yeah.
You know, so you hear somebody say, "Oh, I'm from mm-hmm. I'm here, I was in the military, you know," and then you're like, "He got out when I was 4."
Nah,
I
mean, yeah.
So old enough you experienced a lot of different places.
So that's what I'm saying. So
yeah.
Pops born in Savannah. From Savannah we moved to Germany. From Germany, we moved to Virginia at 4 years old. So mom and pops, they made a decision that, you know, instead of jumping from city to city, state to state, family would stay put, dad would do the traveling. Mm. So again, with that, just understanding, you know, for one, dad, you know, he got to do what he got to do to protect, to take care of the fam. So from there, he had his tours back to Germany, to Egypt, you know, Saudi Arabia. So again, me being the youngest of two, brother off at school, it's just me and mom Dukes at the house. So now it's like, at a young age, I'm technically the man of the house. You know what I mean? So, but being in the, living on the base, you see white, you see black, you mm-hmm. see Asian, you see all type of life, you know? And then really, everybody has something in common. It's military life. And then, you know, going to school, other kids, mom or dad, gone. So we had mm-hmm. that in common. But then moving off base, able to see more so of the urban life, urban mm-hmm. lifestyle, you know, middle school, 95% black, high school, 95% black. Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to experience what, you know, life in the urban neighborhood is all about, you know, friends going down different paths. So for me, man, it just opened my eyes of just moving not even 10 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge difference. You know what I mean? Just lifestyle.
Kids growing up on the base, my family were in the military,
mm-hmm.
but no one necessarily lived on base, right? I had an uncle who served Desert Storm. He was Navy.
Mm-hmm.
But family didn't live on base. You know, especially in the Navy, they were gone so much.
Yep.
Living on a ship, family is not living on a base. Right. They just mm-hmm. didn't. As I got older, and then I started doing football camps, and I started to get the pleasure of going on all these different bases.
Yeah.
And I really saw some things, the advantages of kids going to all these different countries
yeah.
and experiencing that, but I also saw the disadvantages.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you could be sheltered. The same way that we talk about sheltered of someone living in a bubble of
yeah.
of affluence, where there's someone that's living in a military bubble that they only interact with kids that are in the military.
Yeah.
And so that's all you know. And that's a good thing and could be a bad thing because in that bad thing, they also lack resources.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right? Even though they're serving our government, the government only gives you so much. You only, you know, every family deals with it differently. There's all the, you know, all the stuff that goes on in that. And man, I really learned a lot and really saw a lot that to the point I did that for probably about 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what the cool part was is I was able to serve maybe at this military base and then maybe 5, 6 years in, a kid that was at one military base.
And they're at the other one.
That the other one.
Yeah.
It was cool, but it was also, you could see, I think I met him in the States, and then the next time I saw him 6, 7 years later, it was at Camp Humphreys in Seoul, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, for me, it was cool to experience Seoul, Korea, but for a black kid coming from one area to Seoul, Korea, like, his ability to identify is only on a military base. Because you go off the military base.
It's a whole different world.
A whole different world.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, like you said, like a military base, that's a world all in itself.
Yeah.
You know, a whole community.
A whole community. So when I was growing up, it was a little different where we did have to go off the base to go to school. But now it's like you got your elementary school, you got
Fort Bragg has multiple schools.
It's literally a community.
No, Fort Bragg has, I believe, 2 high schools three high schools.
Everything
on base.
On base.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
With football teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Movie theater. So like you really didn't have to leave.
Yeah.
Fast food. Commissary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that you need. So again, like you said, like just being able to really identify, like, you know, like what it is. Off this base,
mm-hmm.
But it was eye opening, man. But I appreciate it.
Yeah. So well, why was it eye opening?
Yeah. So for me, again, with my, you know, my dad being gone traveling, my brother he's off in school. So me and my mom, but then just, you know, being able to go to a youth center, right? Going mm-hmm. to the youth center, and it's your people that you see every day, right? So you playing ball, mm-hmm. you on a youth football team, a youth baseball team, but again, everybody's dealing with the same situations, right? Like we both, either one of our parents are in the military, we all dealing with the same instance. So, but you can move off that base, now you're dealing with some real
stuff.
Some real stuff, you know what I mean? Like, you know, single parent household, on food stamps.
Mm.
Now life is coming at you a little different when now you're a young teenager, it's like, okay.
It's a different dynamic, and you've seen it out of a different lens now.
Yeah, and then again, like I said, it was just 10 miles down the road. We on, and not saying that when you stay on this military base, like everything is peaches and cream. Nah, it's not that. You still got people like that's struggling and living life, because you in the military, like, you're not getting no big money, you know what I'm saying, unless you got high ranking. Yeah. So you still struggling, but then it's just different dynamics when you get off that base, man, where you see, like, you know, real life,
mm-hmm.
real life struggle.
So playing other sports just growing up, you know, did you play any other sports?
Yeah. So growing up, started off, it was football, baseball, basketball.
Okay. Everything.
The big
three. Yeah, big three. And then them curveballs and the fast pitch started coming a little too fast for me. So that baseball went to the wayside, and it was just basketball and football.
Okay.
Up all through high school.
Wow. What position in basketball?
Oh, ran the show, point guard.
Oh,
I didn't know.
Yeah, ran the show. Like, what was it?
I'm sorry, I asked the question.
but in your area, man, there's so many legends who have come out of there. You got mm-hmm. Allen Iverson, and you got your Michael Vicks, Ronald Curry. Mm-hmm. You know who was able to do both. I mean, did you interact with any of those guys?
Well, there was they were older than me. So okay. AI, he was playing with my older. When my oldest brother was playing, but obviously being
influential,
from the area, yeah, very, very. You know, seeing those guys being able to make it through similar situations and circumstances, it was like, all right, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
So you know, seeing you know, Mike Vick, Ron Curry, and those guys, man, it was just again, like, it was just like a dream come true just to even see them make it. It's like, okay, they made it. We made it.
I know I can.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I can. So that was dope.
Now as an adult, how would you categorize Newport News as far as with everything going on in the world today, as an adult, you know, you live here currently in Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
but just how would you really summarize, unfiltered, what Newport News is as a, you know, as a man, with children, with being a father, being a husband, you know?
For me, and I say it all the time, like, that's what Newport News is, what groomed me and made me the person I am today, just the way I look at things, the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
give us the best. What's the best? You say the best of both worlds.
The best of both worlds.
What worlds are those?
For me, the best of both worlds is that I'm able to see the struggle, but I'm also able to see somebody that's doing well off for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now it's like, as a man, it's like, you know, not necessarily you can pick and choose, because some situations it's like you walk into a bad situation, right? But, you know, some luck, some work, some grinding, you can get to that, to where you want to get, right? But then I also see the struggle, right? Where you never take for granted, you know, you waking up, them two, you know, your 2 feet hitting that floor in the morning, you never take for granted. As a father, having guys I went to school with, having to bury their sons, that's something that I don't appreciate, and I don't like the fact of Newport News at the moment in time, just the climate of, you know, the youth killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's a tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, you go back and you're like, this is home.
Mm-hmm. One of the cool things, you know, just reading your story, you know, going from military, you know, not getting recruited, coming out of high school. When did you first remember this underdog mentality in which really made you become a walk-on at Howard?
Man, I think that underdog mentality has always been there. I think I embraced it. I embraced it probably like my senior year in high school.
Why are you able to pinpoint that time?
Because I feel as though, you know, you had, you know, youth league sports where it's like, okay, you know, everybody kind of got that dog.
Yeah.
But my junior year, specifically on the football field, I felt as though I was small. You know, I was 5'10", a buck 65, 70.
I think that's a great height.
playing middle linebacker, anyway. You know what I'm saying? Playing middle linebacker.
I mean, for some other folks, I don't care what position. Now, I take 5'10".
You're right. Yeah, 5'10", 165 playing linebacker.
So again, I will take that. Is this shoes on or off?
But I probably even wasn't 5'10".
I was saying, you round up on that Ross in high school.
I was probably about a good 5'9".
I still take that. That's a good height still.
Yeah. Well, you got that.
Yeah. I'll find that.
That's good.
I think, hey, where's the button? Ding. Yeah. Good. That's a good height.
But I think it was around this time where I felt as though I was holding my own.
And you weren't getting the looks.
I wasn't getting that. No, not even the looks, but just the respect.
Oh.
So what's respect to you? I'm setting you up, but go ahead.
Nah, it's all good.
But it's a good conversation.
It's a great
conversation. Not setting you up like something bad. Setting you up is as good. Because you gave me a look. I'll say this. When I say setting up podcasts now, soon to be 42-year-old Steve Smitty, it's not the football. I'm setting you up as great content of who you are. Because I going against you, I never worried or concerned myself of the physicality going against you.
Yeah.
For me, it was always keeping my eyes on, where is Antoine? Because I know when I need that big play, I can beat the corner. But his ass is going to be over the top somewhere that's going to stop me from getting that play that I know I can get.
Yeah. Being a competitor, right? So we're competitors, right? So if you're out there competing and you know you're competing at the top level, at some point, and maybe not to even justify, but at some point you want to hear somebody say, okay, he's a dog. And you can know it in your heart. You can know it in your mind. But I think every competitor wants to hear
the validation of it.
Of it.
Hmm.
I think so, you know. And at that point, I felt as though I was balling. Like, you know, when it comes to linebacker, I don't think you could have found a better. Yeah, I mean, even though I was small in stature. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, it was just that. And then mm-hmm. just go to my senior year, All-Star game, not originally picked on the All-Star game, but then eventually getting picked and, you know, doing my thing. And mm-hmm. then from there, it was, you know, not being recruited. Damn near walk on to Howard University. Yeah. So all of that, you know, it was just one of them things. But then at that time, that's when I just embraced it.
So do you think it was compounded by, it sounds like what you were saying, was it compounded by being overlooked almost?
Yeah. I mean, of course, being overlooked. Mm-hmm. Again, not getting those offers. But then again, you know, we all have our story. And that was meant for me.
Yeah.
That was meant for me.
So what ultimately led you to Howard? Why did you select Howard University?
Because it was a walk-on, so it wasn't necessarily like, and I'm assuming it's not necessarily like.
Like a preferred or like, yeah. No. So. Because
they didn't necessarily go, oh, man, Antoine's coming? Oh, yay!
That's why I just knew this story was for me. I was getting recruited by Norfolk State, another HBCU in mm-hmm. Virginia. And at the time, the defensive coordinator was recruiting me. And him and my head football coach in my high school, they had a previous stint at Howard University on the same coaching staff. Mm. So at Howard, the head coaching job became available. Coach Ray Petty, he was the coach that was recruiting me at Norfolk State, got the head coaching job. He came to my high school and got my head coach and asked him, would he be the offensive coordinator at Howard? This was my senior year. He was recruiting me at Norfolk State. And my head coach said, look, this guy can play ball. Hmm. You know, he was already recruiting me at Norfolk State. So he said, look, I don't have any money. Hmm. He was kind of late in the process. He was like, but if you come do what you need to do in the classroom on the field, that second year, we can give you some money. So went on my visit. And it was a wrap after that, you know, got on campus. It was like March. The weather was good in D.C. Mm-hmm. And I walked on the yard. And the ratio was like 17-1.
let me educate our listeners. When you say ratio. when you walked on the yard and the ratio,
female to male.
Okay.
So your ability to strike out was lessened.
Hey.
Hey, odds are in favor.
But
my brother just had to have a pulse.
Because I knew what you meant.
But
you're a college kid.
I'm 17.
Yeah, you're 17. Yeah.
I'm 17.
You're 17. You're still growing. I stopped. So, you're still growing. You're feeling out. Hey. You're a linebacker.
Yeah.
Switching to safety. The first one you go up to, you know, 17-1. The first one you say, hey, linebacker boy, you too small. Well, I'm 16. Right.
So with that, and then just the weekend, and then just given the history, the strong, rich history of Howard University, man. And you know, it was, you know, that Sunday I called my mom and my dad. I'm like, look, we're gonna have to we had to get it from somewhere this first year.
Yeah.
But it was like I said, it was made for me. It was supposed to work out the way it did.
Yeah. What was your experience at an HBCU, and then why do you continue to be such an advocate for HBCUs?
And what is HBCU? I know, but I didn't know until 19 years ago when I came from California via Utah to North Carolina.
Yeah. Historically, black colleges and universities, mm-hmm. HBCUs.
And they're primarily on what side of the country?
East Coast, down south, southeast. Okay. All right. Yep. Best 4 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Best 4 years of my life. And then, you know, when I'm talking to young men and women that's thinking about the HBCU, I tell them, it was one time in my life as a young black man, I was a majority. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Growing up, you're the minority.
Yep.
But 9 times out of 10, the room that you walk in, you're going to be the minority, right? So, you know, they're going to look at you a little different or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But this one time in my life for 4 years, I walked on campus. I walked in every classroom, and I was the majority. And I was looking at, so a lot of times you grow up, depending on, you know, the areas you grow up in, it's like, you know, if you can't run or throw a ball, you ain't got a wicked jump shot or something like that, like it's not going to be too many things you're going to be successful in. But then you walking into these rooms and you got aspiring doctors, architects, dentists, like that was real. That was real. And then coming from where I was coming from, I'm like, wow, like, you know, I probably growing up, probably seen like a black dentist, and then, you know, watching the Cosby Show, you know, you seen, you know, a black doctor, but, you know, walking campus, and then you got Frederick Douglass, you got Alain Locke, you got Charles Drew on these buildings. Mm. Like, these are black, powerful, you know, black men and women that has, like, strong.
They're no longer a figment.
They're not.
Of,
that's not
of your imagination, or they're no longer just a
project in February.
A black and white picture of a man in Afro.
Yeah.
Right now they're on top of buildings and they actually mean something.
Yeah.
Versus like, man, I wonder.
Yeah. So, right. You know, February Black History Month. Hey, look, we're going to do this book report. Find you somebody.
And you discover something. And you go, wow.
Yeah, like, but now.
The Black History extends more than one month.
Yeah. Exactly. So now, you know, you're walking on this campus each and every day and you got people feeding that stuff into your soul.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you're playing against guys, you really get... I don't know, I think a false sense of who they are.
Yeah.
Right? You have a podcast, you played, and your podcast was with a teammate of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard a conversation you guys had, and it was unique, but also originally I was kind of like, what? And then also just looking back at myself, because actually, a couple of weeks ago, a gentleman asked me a question.
Yeah,
he was like, "Man, I just want to ask you something." And he shot the question, and I always say, "You want the lie or the truth?"
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Man, I want the truth." And he was like, "Well, okay, since you offered it, tell me the lie." I was like, "Cause he said, you know, what made you different or unique?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "The lie is, I don't even remember. I just said something stupid or something." He was like, "All right, we got that." He said the truth, and the truth was, I did not want to create friendships. Mm-hmm. When I played, I was not interested in being your friend. I wasn't interested in what you felt about me, teammate or opponent. Mainly opponent, teammate depending on the day.
Yeah,
but mainly opponent.
Yeah,
and sitting back, I look at it, I kind of chuckle. Because the way I played that opponent, a lot of times that rubbed opponents the wrong way.
Yeah.
But what's the funniest part is, if we're an opponent, how am I supposed to rub you?
Right. We ain't supposed to be like best friends out there.
And that's why I like this conversation where we're going is, when I ask you about hearing respect, mm-hmm. you say you would love to hear your opponent give you your respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I loved? I didn't want to hear you respect me. I wanted to know that your body told me you respected me.
Yeah. Nah, and I respect that too, because a lot of times, you know, a guy can respect you, but he gonna do and say whatever, try to negate that of what he truly feels. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just out of spite, out of hate, or whatever the case may be. So I can definitely respect that too. And I agree with you. Because you probably don't have to say it, but like you said, when we step in inside those white lines, like, you knew 41 was going.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And so, you knew, like, I remember playing against you with Tory, when Tory was with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I had came back after... my back.
You was in Baltimore at
Baltimore,
the time?
Yeah. And it was like we at the end of, and I was playing well, but we just gave up too many plays. And then I remember we looked eye to eye, and it was like a Hail Mary was trying to get, and it was an end zone, and we both jumped. And he didn't want to let me get it. I didn't want to let him get it. And I remember you said something to me, but I heard the respect, but it was also like, you know, hey, you know, because he had played against me so much that a lot of guys don't realize, for me, respect is we're going to play and we're going to hit each other, but it's going to be clean.
It's going to
be. If I only hit people clean. If I hit you dirty, which was random, then that means I had no respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
But how I earned respect was if I saw a DB and it was on the sideline, I ain't stepping out of bounds.
So look, so I'm gonna go. So that's a story
so,
I had.
So Antoine.
So no, this is the story I had. Right?
Let's visit your Steve Smith story.
Nah, this is the story I had because I mean I think I get a lot of questions about you know who's the toughest receiver that you play like you know, and obviously you know I mean everybody know like you said the way you played the game right. So that was like did you ever have any run-ins with him? I'm like, nah. I mean, I think we both respected each other and we both played the game the way the game was supposed to be played. It was hard.
You
it was
see no, what you hit.
It was, yeah, it was nothing dirty, but whatever. But I'm like, I have heard him talk disrespectful to some of my teammates, right?
Really? Steve Smith?
So it was,
this is great because we both are at that age. We're done playing. We ain't gonna go. You ain't gonna go get no cleats. Somebody tell me go get my cleats. I'm like, for what?
You got it.
I need to use my ladder to get up on my bookcase to get those cleats, right? Yeah. And so they say disrespectful, bro. What am I supposed to do? We are hitting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead with the story.
So it was. We was playing in Indy. I'm trying to think who the DB was.
See, that could tell you a lot too.
I'm trying to think who the DB was.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say his name, but
please don't.
No, we are not, no indictment, but
it was one of them stories. You was running on the sideline, and he eased up. The defender eased up.
Okay.
And you, boom, and
he eased. He eased up.
You still in play.
Because you ain't catching me.
Right,
listen,
right.
There's a few guys that have caught me that I eased up on.
Yeah.
Mark Behringer caught me one time with the Panthers.
Yeah.
LaFell was blocking and I thought he was gonna get him, he didn't. Man, Mark hit me so hard.
Yeah.
Bang!
So that sideline is tricky on the sideline. Because like you know, the week before you could have had a receiver on the sideline and you running and stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't do that.
You know, stepped out of bounds. Yeah. But it could be that one time where you ease up, which you know you're not supposed to do inside the lines. Uh-huh. And he hit him, and the corner was like, you know, like it was got up under his pads, right? Yeah. So I remember you getting up and was like, you little ass boy, like you know, just like talking bad to him. So I'm, you know, obviously I'm running to the ball, right? Uh-huh. So I'm running to the ball. So the defender gets up and just start running away. I'm like, don't you?
So wait. So Smitty thudded Smitty.
No. Smitty thudded him.
You thudded him. You thought he was going out of bounds.
I didn't think I was going out of bounds.
That's what I'm saying. The defender.
Yeah. That's his problem. Yeah.
So, right.
So Smitty thudded him. He fell.
Smitty called him a little ass boy.
Like and talking it, to him.
And then he,
talking
and then,
to him back.
And then he scampers off.
And he runs off. And while I'm running to the ball and I'm seeing it and I see my man get up and run off and Smitty like talking to him bad.
Yeah.
So I grab him. I'm like, yo, don't you ever run away when somebody talking bad like that? So I'm looking at Smitty. I'm like, look, man, you ain't gonna talk to my young boy like that.
Why not?
Right.
Why can't I talk to your young boy like
you
that?
You can, but for me,
you gotta have his
I
back.
I gotta have his
you
back.
Gotta have
all
his back.
Time.
Okay, so at I'm
all time.
I'm liking this because
the vet stepped in, but ultimately,
but I'm a vet. The hell you stepping in for?
On his team.
So
why are you stepping in?
Right. My guy.
Oh,
that's
okay.
My guy.
That's your guy.
That's
the guy that just got ran
the
over.
The guy that got ran
that's
over.
The guy that scampered away.
But at the end of the
season. Hold on now. I'm not here.
Hey, He scampered. Right. But from that right there, I'm like, bro, like, we can't have that.
Yeah.
No, we can't have that.
And so, so let's
but
go.
But look, I respected it. Yeah. I respected the low ass boy.
You just had to have your guys back in.
So, but
in
what
manner.
Did I say exactly?
It was to the tune like.
To the tune.
Yeah, like, you little ass boy, you better, you know what I mean? Something like, you better come, you know. Something bigger than that. You know, cook probably a couple more.
Yeah, not another stuff. Get me indicted in trouble at the house.
We in the ballpark. We in the ballpark. We in the ballpark.
Boy, something about weight room?
Something about weight room. Okay. But it was the fact that, because for me, it's like, you hear a lot of stuff, like, while the game is going.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff where you'll laugh.
Yeah, some of it's funny.
Some of it's funny. Like, you know, so, again, that was one of the stories where, after the game, we got a dub, and... You know, you sit in the locker room and you watching the film and you see the play, and I'm like, pause that. And you know, I tell the young boy, like, man, don't ever let this happen again. Like, and it's a lesson learned. Like, don't ease up on the sideline. Like, you know, when a grown man talk, we all grown men out here. And you don't let no grown man talk to you like that. But then in my mind, it's like, sound like something I would have did too.
See,
like, he's just saying he had to have his guys back.
See, that's what I wanted, because there are so many stories out there that's kind of like, Steve's this, Steve's that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I played hard every play. But I also put a target on my back where I couldn't have.
You couldn't have stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't jog through. Like, he come down, 41 come down. And he lines up and he becomes the linebacker. Bro, they re-identify that Mike and they slide to the right.
Yeah.
That means that now that dime or nickel or safety now is run support. Mm. And I'm in a tight split. That's my guy.
Yeah.
And we gonna lock eyes. So I know.
He looking at me.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna look away.
Yeah. Like,
I ain't looking away like, I hope he don't see you. I'm looking at him like, I see you. You see me.
Yeah.
Right.
How are we gonna do this?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go low.
Yeah.
So because one, I respect him.
Yeah.
Two, that's illegal.
Yeah.
Right. And three, I don't want to, if the shoe's on the other foot and he has an opportunity to hit me low.
Yeah.
And now I'm over here playing hot potato, hot feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've been moving this ball down the field. We're about to wrap up this conversation. Our last segment is the deep three.
Mm-hmm.
Last three questions. Smitty, go ahead and give them the first one.
How do you want to impact the world?
Man, it's funny you say that. Playing this game, you know, you played it a long time. And if I leave this world and they say, you know, AB was a great football player, then I fail, you know. So, my foundation, the Bethea Family Foundation, man, just impact. If I can impact one life, I think I've done a good job, you know. Mm. But obviously, being able to impact as many lives as we can with the platform, man. You know, young men and young women, just try to push them to be the best person that they can be, and get them out of their comfort zone.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I can tell you. You've already done that then, because I've seen some of the stuff your foundation has done. You're doing those campus tours. You're allowing kids to see campuses that they may or may not have been able to see. So
it's
just
no longer
being
a daydream.
Able, it's not a daydream anymore. Yeah. So even just giving that opportunity is going to pay dividends. So, man, if that's it, then mission accomplished. But I know you're gonna keep pushing through anyway.
Got to.
So how would you describe the person you've become?
That's a great question.
We do that here.
Yeah, great question. How?
so he gonna take credit for my question?
I said we.
The person that I've become.
Messing with you, man. Messing with you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I become more, the biggest thing, like, more understanding, right? I know, I think marriage does that. I think living does that. Having kids. Definitely does that. But I was so black and white for a long time. But obviously now it's like, you know, I mean, my kids ask me questions now. I'm just like, you know, it really have me thinking. So I think the biggest thing for me, like, I'm more understanding student. I'm learning.
Mm.
I'm learning about myself. You know, I'm still learning, you know, about, you know, just life, my family. So I would say just a student and just, you know, more understanding. I would say the biggest two things right now that I kind of see.
Okay. Okay.
Myself, yeah.
So being from Newport News, being one of many young men coming from out there, if you can get a billboard, what would you put on that billboard to say to anybody in Newport News?
Dream big. Because I think, again, you got so many, again, young men, young women, they feel as though that's all it is Newport News, what they see every day.
Yeah.
And they limit themselves so much. They don't dream. It's like they're living their day-to-day life. Like, you know, I'm 14 and I'm the man of my house. Like, I got to go to work. I got to do whatever I can do to bring money into the household. They're not given that opportunity to really dream.
Yeah.
So I think that's what my billboard would be, you know, dream big.
Man, it's been an honor and a privilege to have you on, man.
Man, I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Antoine.
Yeah,
that was good, man.
I appreciate it.
I'm not as scary as they say.
Hey, look, man, I respect you, bro.
I always respected you, man. Always knew, you know, we've had enough guys on here, defensive guys. Every defender I went against, whether they believed or not, I always respected them.
Yeah.
Now, the level of respect
is going to vary
throughout the game. But always knew and always going against you. Never, ever wanted to see a situation where either one of us got hurt, especially with it being in my hands.
Yeah.
Right? But always knew, you know, DB, wherever it was, you know, I could do that. Where's 41 at?
Yeah.
You know,
where's... Got to find 41.
Yeah, got to pay attention to him because he'll creep up and get a pick, and then I got to chase him down. And then I'm mad I got to chase him down.
You don't get paid for that part?
Nah, uh-uh. You know, and then people look at his opportunity. They can hit me.
Oh, yeah. Head on the swivel.
So, I'm over there. I'm over there.
Yeah.
Focus.
Blah!
Yeah. Right? Who's that? Brian Urlacher caught me like that one time.
Caught you slipping.
Man, they threw a pick and I was running. I was locked in and I had the arm. Boom, he hit me. I said, damn. He was like, ha, gotcha. You was one of those guys, man.
No, I appreciate that. Man. It's mutual, man. Mutual respect, man. Like I said, going against you, man, you knew you had it. Got to be A1 that day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know how it is in league. Every week it's... every team gonna have that one.
Yeah.
But you know, just being able, you know, to go up against you, just know you had that dog in you, man. Always respect your game, man.
Appreciate
and regardless it. What everybody else be saying, man, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team, Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.